Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Peter's second letter, chapter 1, says, quote, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." Close quote. The goal of salvation is to become, as St. Peter said, a partaker in the divine nature, not just to slide into heaven by the skin of our teeth. We know that Mary is not God, but the fathers tell us that the Son of God became a son of man, so the sons of men could become sons of God. No one exemplifies this exchange better than the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Denis the Areopagite tells us in his writings that when he saw our Blessed Lady in a mystical vision, he would have taken her for a divinity because of her secret graces and incomparable beauty, had not the faith in which he was well established taught him the contrary, contrary being the fact that Mary is not God. But this participation in the divine life of the Trinity by a human being, by a human person, the Blessed Virgin Mary, is exemplified on no better day than today, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. Two parts of the Mass open our eyes to how we can partake in the life of the Trinity, that is to say, entering God's very life and nature. The first is the commingling rite when I put water in the wine at Mass, and this is the translation in English. Quote, "O God, who in creating human nature didst wonderfully dignify it, and still more wonderfully restore it, grant that by the mystery of this water and wine we may be made partakers of his divine nature, who vouchsafed to be made partaker of our human nature, even Jesus Christ our Lord, thy Son, who with thee liveth and reigneth in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen." Close quote. Center part I want to read again. This is the commingling rite of the traditional Latin Mass. "Grant that by the mystery of this water and wine, we may be made partakers of his divine nature, who vouchsafed to be made partaker of our human nature, even Jesus Christ." So this is where I put the water and the wine. You might see that I use an eyedropper. I'm a little bit scrupulous about too much water, because too much water actually makes the Mass invalid. So I use a little eyedropper of water. And if you listen closely to those words, the water represents all of humanity and the wine represents divinity. Now remember, it has not become the precious blood yet, so that's why I'm calling it wine. Right now, it's wine, and I put a drop of water in there. And what this prayer basically just said is, this wine represents the richness of God's love, and all of humanity, the little love that we can naturally give to this, we pour in there at this time. And what happens? They are mingled together, and what is going to happen at Mass is this is going to be taken up in a single offering to heaven, much like Our Lady was taken up into heaven. But this mingling of the humanity and the divinity is actually a required part of the Mass. But no one exemplifies this more than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary, too, partook in the life of the Trinity via God himself. Mary is beloved of the Father. Mary is beloved of the Son. Mary is beloved of the Holy Spirit. Mary took her partaking in the life of the Trinity from God himself. God the Son took his partaking in humanity entirely from Mary. Obviously, none of this came from Joseph except his teaching. So again, Mary took her partaking in the life of the Trinity from God himself. God the Son took his partaking in humanity entirely from Mary herself. And this is a marvelous exchange. That exchange is far beyond our recognition on earth and probably in heaven. But we are given a way to participate in this. As you know, I preach that the most underrated part of Holy Mass is the offertory. Because as I am offering the bread and the wine to God before it becomes the body and the blood of the Lord, this is the time when we are to pray, God, my Father, I give you everything I am, everything I have, everything I'm called to be, and I unite it with all of the merits of the passion, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Fulton Sheen talks about it like this. He says, at that moment, we really should die to ourselves. The offertory is when we offer all of our prayers, works, joys, sufferings, worries of life. And in a certain sense, we die to ourselves because we're giving our will over to God. But Archbishop Fulton Sheen makes the beautiful point that in dying to ourselves, 15 minutes later, we're given a much better life, which is the life of Christ in the Eucharist. Of course, we do receive Holy Communion, even if we didn't pray the offertory rite. But the more that we can put our lives on the altar, as you see me take the chalice veil off, as I lift up the bread and lift up the wine before it becomes the body and blood of Jesus, if you can make prayers of surrender to start praying for all the living and the dead, all the worries in your life, all of your hopes and all of your dreams, there's a joy in that, but there's also a death in that. And as that is immolated means sacrificed, your life too is carried up in this fiery sacrifice of love to God. And what happens is then you receive the very body and blood of Jesus, giving you life as Christ himself would give to someone who hadn't made good prayers, but also on top of that, with additional graces. Between the offertory and the Roman canon in the traditional Latin Mass is the secret prayer. Today's is very significant. Again, I'll give it to you in English. May the offering of our devotion rise unto you, O Lord, and by the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, who is taken up into heaven, may our hearts on fire with love strive ever upward to you. That's so beautiful, I want to read it again. May the offering of our devotion rise unto you, O Lord, and by the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, who is taken up into heaven, may our hearts on fire with love strive ever upward to you. What this is comparing is three things. The sacrifice that is lifted up, because as you know, when we attend Mass, we are taken in a time machine to Calvary. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So the lifting up of the sacrifice is both him being raised on the cross and his ascension and his resurrection. We're present at the entire mystery. But also our lives go up in this immolation of love at the same time if we've offered our will at the offertory. But then today's secret was very beautiful because it just compared all of those things going up to Mary's assumption into heaven at that same time. Mary, who was taken into heaven, we ask that our hearts would be on fire with love, ever strive upward to you. Put all this together, and we see that the best way we can imitate Mary is to immolate our worry and trust in God. Again, to immolate is to sacrifice. Mary tells us today, slay your worry, slay your disordered carnal passions, and you will be joyful and free like Mary. Trust is more than an emotional reality. Trust happens at the very core of our will. Today, I went to get some oysters in New Orleans with a family from Colorado, and I was at a gym in Metairie. This was my third time at a gym all year at 9 months, so I'm not claiming that's virtue. But turns out they were in town. I left this gym, and I looked at the GPS, and it said 5.4 miles southeast of here was where we were going to go, Drago's. I'm sure Father Van knows that place well. We were going to go to Drago's, and I knew I had to go 5.4 miles to the southeast. So as I left this gym in Metairie, I like to push the button on the GPS that gives me like the next few turns. And I noticed it had me going west on I-610 before taking me south on I-10. And I just obeyed it. I just immediately knew that I had pushed the right button, and I was going to go west on 610 before going southeast to get to Drago's for oysters with this family from Colorado. And as I got on 610 and I-10, it hit me, I am so obedient to my GPS. It took me a different direction, knowing that I was going to go west on 610, and I didn't doubt it. I knew I had to go southeast, and yet I obeyed my GPS and going west on 610. And sure enough, it got me there on time, albeit in the rain. And as I was driving, I thought, why am I more obedient to my GPS than my conscience? Because our conscience is where God speaks to us. I think the answer is this. We don't really trust God is good. When we have those small inspirations of grace, when we feel our conscience tagged, we're afraid God is holding something back. And then we're more obedient to a GPS than God. But if we really believed in the goodness of God, we would be obedient to those small inspirations of grace in our will. But how do we really convince ourselves that God is good? This is why the saints say that time in mental prayer, that time in meditation, that time in silence is so key, because We can read all about the goodness of God. We can tell our kids God is good. But until we enter into the silence, in the very depths of our intuition, there's going to be doubt. And this is why all the saints put that emphasis on mental prayer, because when we enter into mental prayer, when we enter into silence, that's not just throwing God a bone so he doesn't strike us with lightning. That is so we grow in the very depths of our soul in the trust of the goodness of God. And when we believe in his goodness and faithfulness, we can start to obey him even more. The fruit of this prayer time, whether it is a lot or a little, should be surrender, meaning we do God's will in the small things instead of our will. Someone once said, "The trust and surrender of the will is both the easiest and the hardest part of the spiritual life." Nobody did this better than the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Maximilian Kolbe taught, holiness came down to one single formula. St. Maximilian Kolbe taught that holiness came down to one single formula. He presented the way of holiness as a simple equation involving free will. Capital V for voluntas, God's will, plus little v, voluntas, my will, equals S, sanctity. God's will, capital V, plus little v, my will. When we bring these together and the second is subsumed into the first, that is holiness. St. Maximilian Kolbe wrote, quote, "If we unite our will to the will of God, losing ourselves in it as a droplet of water loses itself in the ocean, sanctity is achieved," close quote. Do you see how this is like the water coming into the wine before it becomes the precious blood? This is the secret to Mary's holiness. Was her surrender of her will. We offer our lives in the offertory and die to ourselves at this next part of the Holy Mass that we enter. 15 minutes later, after dying, we get something better than we offered on the altar ourselves, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, life itself. If we unite our will to the will of God, losing ourselves in it as a droplet of water loses itself in the ocean, sanctity is achieved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.